Hello, this is Brett Kitchen and
Ethan Kapp
with Savvy Money Radio. Thanks for coming to the show today. And on the show, the Savvy Money Radio show, we want to help you live financially forever young. We're sick of the bad financial advice that's killing Americans, and we're ready to help people realize what's really going to help them financially, because the old traditional stuff just doesn't work, does it, Ethan?
Absolutely. You're going to pay less tax as well. Avoid losing money on Wall Street. You should be fleeing Wall Street right now. And how you can do some cool things like finance yourself to wealth. We're going to talk about some neat things like that.
So, first of all, on today's show, let's give them a little snapshot of what they're going to get. The first thing that I just love here is, who's richer, Republicans or Democrats?
I don't know. Let's find out.
That's going to be a good segment there. And then we'll talk about some of the debt versus the savings trends. Maybe some good news is actually coming out of all this. Like you mentioned, how to finance yourself to wealth. And we might even throw in a caveman award for kicks. So anyway, let's go ahead and get started with the news about Republicans versus Democrats and how that actually affects your finances.
So what do you think? Republicans or Democrats?
Well, I mean, without being too silly about it, there is a clear difference in the type of person that is a Republican versus a Democrat.
Are you certain? I mean, some people think that they're one and the same today.
No. Well, I'm talking about the average guy, the average guy or gal listening into this. There's a pretty substantial psychological difference between somebody who considers themselves a Democrat versus a Republican.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say so?
I would say so, but there are people on the other side of the table that are going to say there's no difference.
Well, if you're talking about politicians, then yeah, all the politicians are scammers and crooks or whatever. No, I can't say that on the radio. But no, in terms of what the news piece actually said, it said that Democrats are actually have a lower net worth and are poorer than their Republican counterparts. And we're not talking about politicians. We're talking about average, everyday Americans.
So the person that goes to the voting booth says, I am a Democrat.
A Democrat is poorer than a Republican. So what's the explanation there? Genius?
Big business.
it's probably George Bush's fault.
It's about the oil companies. BP.
It's BP's fault. But no, they also said that Democrats are less happy with themselves and their own. They almost went into the self-esteem argument there. And we thought that was kind of funny. So if you're not doing as well as you should be financially, maybe you need to consider becoming a Republican.
Switching parties.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll solve your problems.
Too bad they didn't get, what is it, the Tea Party? Too bad they didn't find out where those guys sit.
Well,
Or the Libertarians.
I am a card-carrying member of the... No, I'm not, actually. I have been to a Tea Party.
We both went. But it was quite interesting.
It was snowing, and we were there voicing our displeasure with the government gone wild. You know, we should start a website, Government Gone Wild.
In fact, I thought you were going to say we're going to start our own tea party.
No, I don't need it. I don't need another tea party. But we do need a Government Gone Wild party. Okay,
that,
so...
It just has a lot of sexual innuendos to it.
Well, that's true. Plus, when you think about all those government employees that were wasting all their time and money just watching junk on the internet. The Republican versus Democrat mystery has been revealed, and it's probably more than likely because of the difference in their overall philosophy towards the free market system. That would be my guess. But the other interesting piece of news that's out recently is the debt versus the savings trends, because you know everybody was talking about in 2005, and this is when like the height of the raging market, right? This was after 9/11 hurt the economy, and then it came roaring back. And 2005, everything was just churning, and the savings rate was -1% for this country at the height of when everything should be going great and you should be stashing away all this money. -1%.
Well, people,
what's going on out there?
Well, Warren Buffett, he said this, and you know, people like him or dislike him, but I thought this was an actual smart quote. I went to one of his events when I had Berkshire Hathaway stock, but now I got my money in 101 plans. And he basically answered a question. Somebody said, hey, you know, should I be putting my money into stocks that are real estate or are REITs? And this was when the stock market was just, you know, really going hog wild and people were making money hand over fist. And he's like, look, all of these things come to an end. It's like Cinderella at the ball with no clock on the wall.
Yeah.
And he says, look, he says, I'd get out right now. He says, I'm out of it. And he says, you have all these people who essentially are at this party and they're having fun and there's no clocks on the wall. And then someday midnight's going to hit, which it did. Everything came crashing down and people lost hundreds of thousands of dollars, tens of thousands. 401ks became 201ks. And there was a lot of pain in the market. And it's just sad that it has to happen that way.
Well,
you know?
What's the problem with the fundamental problem with all of this is that Americans are taught that savings and investing is the same thing. That put away money into your 401k, that's your retirement savings. That is not the same thing, and that's what everybody gets screwed up about. Well, because savings is where you put your money, and it's in a can in the you know, bottom drawer of your dresser, and it can't be lost. It can't be exposed to. This is my analogy. Some idiot in some other country makes a bad decision, and the world economy suffers, right? And what happens to Martha in Kansas City, Missouri, who has her money in the market? Because some clown in Japan made a bad decision, she loses money? How is that? How does that make any sense? That's like my neighbor's credit score getting hit because he's late on his payments and my bank balance going down by $2,000. Why would I want my money exposed to that if that's the savings that I have for my worst case scenario? Now, obviously, there's a place for investing and making, trying to get a better return on your money, but that is not the same as your savings.
Well, it's the common wisdom that's been pumped for the last 20, maybe even 30 years, right? I mean, back in the 20s and 30s, people were actually putting their money not in the stock market majority when saving it. They were putting it actually in life insurance policies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the majority, I mean, that's an actual statistic, right? And so we went away from this trend of safe money, putting your money in something that the growth is secure, right? It's not like this roulette wheel where you are gambling every single day and you could lose every single penny. I mean, that's not a secure foundation.
Who came up with that plan and who do you think it benefits the most? I mean, it's not very hard to figure that out.
Banks.
Who's making all the money on Wall Street? I love this quote in Pirates of Manhattan. A guy walks in to the yacht club and all he's got there is a bunch of stockbrokers and mortgage fund or hedge fund managers, and he looks around and he says, where's the customer's yachts? The customers don't have any yachts. It's all the guys managing the customer's money. So it's the perfect analogy of what's gone on and why this conventional financial wisdom has been promoted through advertising, through the media, because who's paying for the media? Well, the advertising companies, the guys on Wall Street, Scottrade. I mean, how often do you see a Scottrade commercial? It's on everywhere. You know, all of these mortgage houses, brokerages, they promote this. Now, the other thing that's really interesting is about the time when people stopped saving and they started quote-unquote investing, 1980 and in the 80s were when the 401k was invented. That's when it was invented. People, this is not a long-term, stable, proven financial vehicle. It's an incarnation that some politician thought up to save some money on taxes. Well, the truth of the matter is you don't really save money on taxes either, but that's another discussion. So,
well, that's the thing. It's not even really a vehicle. I mean, it's like this fake shell that the government says, hey, put your money in here and it's going to be secure and you're going to have a retirement.
Yep.
Where people, essentially, it's like a slush fund to gamble with, right? Because if you're putting your money in stock mutual funds or in stocks, you can lose that principal. And how many people even know where their money's at? I mean, they look at that sheet that they get, and there's 100 choices.
They don't know. They don't know what's
going on. I'll check this one, or they don't even know, and so they talk to the advisor, and they're going to be like, well, you got to do this one, or they give you this allocation chart, and you're just lost.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no simplicity with it.
The more complicated they make it, the better, because then the average consumer doesn't know what's going on. They don't know how much they're paying in fees, and they just feel like, oh, I'll just turn it over to my financial guy, and he takes care of it.
Well, what makes me sick to my stomach is you've had all these government entities come after online gambling, shut it down, and that it's bad, but yet it's okay for people to take their money and gamble in the stock market, and no one's coming down on that. People are a little bit... Well, I'd say that you have other entities now that are a little bit upset with that. But you don't see people going after Scott Trade and shutting them down, or Charles Schwab or anything like that.
Talk to Chuck.
They're okay.
Chuck will help you. Chuck will help you gamble your money.
I mean,
it's like having a partner there to say...
It's no different than like online gambling. I can literally go to Scott Trade and put $5,000 in, and I can start investing in stocks or doing even more crazy stuff. I can even borrow on margin. And essentially, it's gambling.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's okay to do that.
Well, that's because government's in on the plan.
I'm sure.
Okay. So, but we got way off topic. I mean, I don't even know how we ended up over here. But the initial statistic that we were going to share that is a bright light in the dark tunnel is that the savings trend has actually reversed itself, and from where it was in 2005 at -1%, which just is absolutely ludicrous.
Well, it's ludicrous even if it's a positive 5%. I mean, who's going to retire on saving 5% of their money?
Well, right.
But that's why people try to gamble.
But that's what I'm telling you, is that when times were great, nobody was saving any money. When times are bad, all of a sudden we're saving 5, 6, 7%.
Well, it's because, look, it's that whole, it comes back to the Cinderella story. Money was easy to get. Financing was really free. I mean, people were like taking loans out of their house like it was nothing, and everybody thought that it wouldn't end. Like, hey, I can get this money any way I want. And all of a sudden, all that stuff dried up, and now we're freaking out. Like, where's the cash?
Yeah, so you stop spending money you don't have. Start saving a little bit. Now, this is also something that's interesting, is that in Japan, the savings rate is 15%. 15 to 20%. And
in some cases, that's not even high enough to really get to that number. I mean, you'll sit down with some people or an advisor or whatever, and you say, you know, what's the type of lifestyle that you want to have in retirement? And so they say, well, you're going to have $4 million to be able to do that. Well, once you start like re-engineering that, it's like you got to save a ton of money to get there.
Look, Stephen Gardner, an agent that works for us, went out and met with a guy just today who is 55 years old, has 6 children, no money saved for retirement, and he's looking at himself going, the most he can put away right now in his own mind is $250 a month.
How are you ever going to get there?
This is the trouble. You have to start now. If you are 30, if you're 24, if you're 19, it's not too early to start saving.
It's not too late or too early.
It's never too early to start saving.
Well,
some people think, oh, well, I'll worry about retirement when I hit 40. No, you worry about retirement if you want to retire. Now, that's a question that's coming up in and of itself. You know, these European countries that have promised their citizens that they can stop working when they're 59 and a half, and they're going to pay their way for another, 50 years?
Well, have you
people
seen...
People are living till they're 100 years old now.
Well, have you seen what's coming down the pipe in finance? Well, on Yahoo Finance, I'm reading articles now that saying that the new generations of kids coming into the workforce, they may not be able to start tapping into Social Security benefits until 70.
Well, yeah, there's no question about that.
They're pushing that retirement age up. You know, like, oh, because everyone lives longer. So we all have to just listen to that bull crap. Like, oh, you know, a guy like this, unfortunately, didn't understand. And yeah, it's hard with 6 kids. But even with 6 kids, you can still, it's not about the money you make. It's about how much you put away, right? It's spending versus...
Look, if you haven't read The Richest Man in Babylon, that's like finance 101. Nobody should even be able to get a job until they read that book. And what he makes a point of, which I totally believe, is that you save the money first, you pay for everything else later, and it still has a way of working itself out. So sitting there saying, oh, I just can't afford it. No, you can't afford not to pay yourself first. This is the way to look at it in my mind, and this really came clear to me. I work, you know, what, 10 hours, 12, 14 hours a day, and I pay for my mortgage, and I pay my interest, and I pay for my cars, and I pay for my food, and I pay all the other expenses, that my gas and electric and everything else that I do. Who am I really working for here? I'm working for everybody else. Unless I pay myself first, the 10% that goes into my 101 plan that's guaranteed and it's going to grow every year and it's never going to be at risk of the market. And if you don't know what a 101 plan is, you go to fleewallstreet.com right now and you will learn what a 101 plan is. But if you don't pay yourself first, who are you working for? Why are we even doing all this?
Well, I think that's why the majority of Americans get into their 40s and have this midlife crisis. Like, this gentleman is a perfect example of that. You know, you have one kid, six kids, more kids, whatever it is, and you're looking at your 401k that's supposed to be this nest egg that you're going to retire on, and it's obsolete now.
Yeah, that's what it ultimately cost him to call, was that he got a flyer 8 months ago, and just recently he looked at he kept the flyer because it talked about safe money, and just recently he called this week and said, you know what, I looked at my 401k and I just can't take it anymore. I need an alternative. And unfortunately, he's going to have some hard decisions to make, because $250 a month at age 55 is not going to cut it.
Well, that's the powerful thing about what a true financial age advisor can do. They're really magical at helping people find money in areas where they may not think that they can be transitioning or moving money.
There's actually 13 different ways that we can help people find money. And so if you are feeling like, hey, I need to do something, I need to make a move, then you can go to truefinancialage.com. In fact, you need to go to truefinancialage.com and find out what your Never Work Again number is. Because if you're expecting to retire when you're 62 and you get in there and take the quiz and find out that you're going to work till you're 79, then maybe there's some things that can be changed now to fix that, so that you're not staring down the barrel of the gun saying, holy cow, I'm going to have to work forever. I mean, that's a sickening feeling for people to think. I just watched a special on 60 Minutes, and they've got a guy who was a professional his entire life, making six figures. What's he doing now? His wife is covering most of the bills with an in-house daycare, and he's working two jobs, doing Starbucks coffee for half part-time, and then stocking shelves. This guy's a 65-year-old guy who's trying to make lattes with 23-year-old kids. That's a sad situation. Now, we are brought up to believe that we can work hard and we can make our money so that we can enjoy our retirement, and it doesn't happen unless you make the right moves. And putting your money in a 401k is clearly not a very smart move anymore. But let's move on. Let's move on to something a little more upbeat. Something that we like to pull out of the hat once in a while, which is the Money Busters segment. we didn't want to get sued by the Mythbusters, so we just came straight out with the Money Busters. And today, that's going to be the truth about Susie Orman. So tell us about Susie and what she likes to tell her followers.
Well, she likes to say that it's really good to buy term insurance and invest the difference. And in a world where people actually were disciplined and didn't essentially take their money and gamble it, that may work. But what we found is over the last 20 years, and a report came out, the 2008 Dalbar report came out and proved that because of investors' erratic behavior, after adjusting for inflation, that people actually lost money in stock mutual funds.
When you add in inflation,
adjusting for inflation, and you know that's a sad statistic.
Well, get this. This is like there's a two-pronged approach here.
I think people know that doesn't work. I mean, in the past, people like, well, you know, that may still work. I think people absolutely know, when you look at your 401k plan, that advice did not pan out for the majority of Americans.
Yeah, there's two reasons why it's bad advice. Number one is buy term. When you die, you need to have life insurance, whether you're 50, 25, or 100. Why do you need to have life insurance when you die? Because it protects your estate. If you don't have life insurance, your estate gets destroyed. And so, and in many cases, your 401ks and IRAs get destroyed by income taxes too, if it's not set up properly. So you got to have life insurance when you die. Second, and there's three reasons, I just thought of another one, is that you said they weren't disciplined. People are buying term, and then are they investing the difference? No, they're spending it. So that's number two, is it doesn't work. And then three, even if they do invest the difference, they're losing the money in the market.
Well, why don't we talk about Bill and Susie, who buy term insurance. And so they do have insurance, which is a good thing, right? Because the value of life is important, right?
Well, yeah. If you don't have insurance, I mean, that's the first thing to do. Buying term is not a problem, but buying another type of insurance that is longer term can also be beneficial.
So, did I say Bill and Susie?
You said Bill and Susie. Okay. I don't know where you're getting Bill and Susie from.
Well, I just think that's a good name of a couple. Bill okay. and Susie. But
not Susie Orman.
Not Susie Orman.
Okay, we'll get back to that in a second.
Bill and Susie. And they decide that they're going to save their money, right? But let's talk about, even with consumer behavior, if they're going to just put money into a savings account.
Okay, yeah. I see where you're going with this.
Right? I'm just going to put $250 into a savings account, and I'm going to save my money. We know what humans are like, right? And so they get up to where they have $25,000. This is money that they think that they're going to use for retirement.
Yep.
I've got $25,000.
Dude, that 25 grand is looking awfully good.
Good. I want to go buy a boat.
Yeah. I want a boat. Who doesn't want a boat?
So they look at where they have the money. They got it sitting in a savings account.
Yeah, they do.
So they take that money and they go buy a boat. So where'd all that money go? Are they going to recapture that back? Is that going to be there when they retire?
No, because their boat will be long gone, and so is their 25 Gs.
Right. And that's one of the amazing things that we talk about in this 101 plan, which is dividend whole life insurance. It's financing yourself to wealth, that you can actually have $24,000 of cash value in your whole life policy or the 101 plan, and you can go buy a boat, and that money still continues to grow. That's what's so powerful.
It is a really powerful concept. And then you can pay yourself back so you recapture that, so when you go to retire, your money's there.
And if you want to learn more about this, I mean, all my money flows through these plans. It's really amazing. My wife and I are planning a trip to Hawaii. We're going to take money out of the plan, pay for it, and then pay ourselves back. And that money still continues to grow. And I recapture that cost that I would have lost otherwise of just like putting $6,000 into a savings account and giving it to Marriott and all the others, and I would have never seen it back to me.
It's called saving to spend. That's what Americans do. They save up $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is, and that's sitting right there in that account, and it's just burning a hole in their pocket.
But if you do want to learn more about it,
go to FleeWallStreet.com
and request to talk to a true financial aid advisor.
Yep. Watch the video.
Because most advisors know enough just to hurt people. Yep. They're going to give them bad advice.
Yes, that's very true. Don't trust the 101 plan to an advisor who is not certified. That can really hurt you. It can really hurt your cash value. It can also screw up your tax benefits. And you can't afford that. So you got to make sure that you talk to a true financial aid certified advisor. Now, back to the Susie Orman Money Busters and the buy term, invest the difference myth. This was reported by MSN.com that Susie Orman does not follow her own advice. Let's see. Orman estimated her liquid net worth at about $25 million with an additional $7 million dollars in houses. With just $1 million in stocks, it means just 4% of her liquid net worth is in the stock market. What does Orman do with the rest of her money? Solomon asked and was told, I save it and build it in municipal bonds. I buy zero coupon municipal bonds, and all the bonds I buy are AAA rated and insured, so that even if the city goes bankrupt, I get my money. I take a little lower interest rate to make sure my bonds are 100% safe and sound. As for playing the stock market, Susie Orman said, I have $1 million in the stock market because if I lose $1 million, I don't personally care. In short, the person being trusted as everyone's financial advisor has a portfolio that few people could live with. That is just priceless. Let me say it in plain English. Susie Orman does not buy term and invest the difference. She may buy term, but she's not investing the difference. She's putting it in 100% safe and secure and sound financial vehicles, which is what a 101 plan does. And a 101 plan gives you a much greater upside in terms of returns, and you get death benefit protection.
Well, another thing that Barry Dyke talks about in Pirates of Manhattan is her bosses don't even follow her advice.
No, they do not.
They're actually buying life insurance, whole life, permanent, by the truckloads. Literally.
Is it possible to buy life insurance by the truckload?
How these guys are doing it.
I mean, yes, it actually is.
I mean, they're putting $500,000 to, you know, up to a few million dollars into these policies because of the amazing tax advantages that you get. I mean, life insurance is one of these last things where you can place your money that's away from the government's greedy hands and have it grow tax advantaged. You know, it can grow. That you're not going to have to pay taxes on it as it grows, and then you could potentially have it as a cash. What's the best way to say this so we don't get in trouble on the radio?
A tax advantaged.
Well, essentially, they can have a cash flow in retirement that's, you know, quote unquote tax free.
You can't say tax free because our compliance people will hit us on the head with a frying pan if we say the words tax free. So what we have to say is we have to jump around it by saying it's tax advantage. Essentially what it means is you don't have to pay taxes on your dividends that come out because you've already paid taxes on your money that went in. And so you're getting out, you know, if you were to start taking money out of a 401k when you hit 65 or whenever you want to, and you're not paying the penalties on it, you're going to pay whatever tax bracket you're in. Well, what people don't understand is that when you're in the later years, you're empty nesters, you don't have all the deductions that you had. Many people have their mortgages paid off, they have their kids out of their house, and they don't have all those deductions. So what does that do? Pushes you up to a higher tax bracket. You're paying more taxes. And so then you start taking money out, and all of a sudden you're paying, I'm paying 30% taxes on my 50 grand, so my 50 grand's all of a sudden down to what, $35,000? Well, geez, I can't live off 35. So what do you gotta do? You gotta take more out. Well, what does that do? It eats into your retirement years, and all of a sudden you're not gonna have the money that you thought you were gonna have because you can end up paying 5 to 7 times more in your retirement years in taxes than what you saved over 30 years of contributing to a 401k. It's absolutely obscene how much taxes you can end up paying in an IRA and a 401k if you utilize those tools. And so it's really kind of a sham that it's a tax benefit. It's not. It's Uncle Sam's tax collection program. And not only that, I mean, while we're on the 401k train, Bloomberg did a series, and you can watch this series by going to truefinancialage.com and clicking on the Money Traps link, and you're going to see that there are over 17 fees that can be charged to your 401k.
That they don't even show you.
You can't even find them.
Yeah.
If you want to. They go through this with a reporter and they're like, I don't see where these fees are. And then they dig in and they make all these phone calls. And then they realize, wow, I'm getting totally screwed here. That can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars in your retirement years because of those fees that eat you up. I had the same thing going on. I was paying 3%. And 3% over 30 years costs hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So there you have it. 401ks, probably not the best place to be putting your money. If you want to learn more about a 101 plan, which we encourage you to do, go to fleewallstreet.com, watch the video there, it's very educational, and request an opportunity to talk to a specialized true financial age advisor that can give you a blueprint and show you how you can secure and grow your money.
Okay, now we got a question in from, his name is Rendrags. And he is actually asked the question, well, what should I be doing with my money if it's not good to put it in the market or into a 401k? What is a 101 plan and how does it work?
Well, a 101 plan, like we've mentioned earlier, it's a special type of life insurance. It's dividend paying. And again, most advisors have never heard of this. I'd say probably up to 95, maybe 99% of financial advisors don't know this. we've talked about Susie Orman and we've talked about Dave Ramsey, and they are not fans of permanent whole life insurance. And the reason is if you sell that type of permanent whole life insurance, it is quite expensive. And they're right in that case. This is a different type of life insurance with the whole life that it actually explodes the cash value. I mean, you can really just exponentially grow this cash value over time. So it becomes a great way to use money or save money. I mean, you essentially can just grow that cash value and save it, and it can be a great nest egg for you.
Yeah. It's not near as expensive as some of the traditional whole life policies out there, and it's much more flexible. And it gives you living benefits. You can borrow against it. You can borrow and buy those boats or cars or, you know, do real estate transactions or whatever you want to do without any restrictions on your money. I mean, there are just so many benefits to this over a 401k. There's no fees and fines and penalties for accessing your money. There's no restrictions on it. There's a documented case of a California lawyer who borrowed $180,000 from his 401k retirement plan to purchase a mortgage, a house, which you're allowed to do. But there was a limit on the number of days that he could have his money out. He put the 180 grand back in 13 days late and was charged a tax penalty of $60,000. He had to pay 60 grand. He's an attorney. He says, that's bogus. I'm not paying that. So he takes it and he goes all the way to the courts and they rule against him. And there's nothing he can do about it. I mean, if that's where you want your money, then I don't know what to tell you.
Well, it's Lott. He has a great book that talks about the retirement savings time bomb.
Yep.
And there's so many strings and rules attached to these 401k plans that no one can...
No, you can't keep track of them.
They can't. And the beautiful thing about the 101 plan is the simplicity of it. You're the owner of it.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about all of these rules and regulations. You know, there are some rules that you have to abide by, but they're pretty simple. I mean, there may be five that you can get on a piece of paper or put on a 3x5 index card, put them on your fridge, and that's all you have to know.
Yeah. It really is a great tool. All right, so let's finish up today's show with the Caveman Award. We always love to highlight during the NBA season NBA players who deserve the Caveman Award. Now, Bill O'Reilly says pinheads or patriots. I don't particularly like Bill O'Reilly. Do you?
Not a big fan.
I don't really watch his show. I think he's kind of arrogant.
A lot of people like him, though.
I know. He's got this huge following. I don't get it. Watch Hannity, but I don't like watching... And I don't watch Beck either. Do you watch Beck?
No, I don't watch Glenn.
He makes me feel depressed, so I don't watch him. But anyway, I don't know why we're talking about that other than the fact that we're not talking about pinheads here. We're talking about cavemen, and that goes to Latrell Sprewell.
Absolutely.
Latrell, like a couple years back, we just dug this out of the archives because it's so ridiculous. He was getting an offer from a team for $10 million a year. And his quote was, I'm not going to take that kind of contract. I got a family to feed.
And a yacht to pay off in my four house.
And then a couple of years later, he's bankrupt and owes somebody $500,000 with an 85% interest rate. This guy is a caveman.
Walking around with no brain in his head.
Oh, my gosh. 85% interest rate.
And those are the type of loans where you walk in and you have to get like an advance on your paycheck, and they're like, "I need the money," and they're like, "Okay, 150%."
Well, and the only place you can pay that high of an interest rate is Nevada, and I think they basically.
Well, Utah too. They don't have any cap around here, do they?
No, you can't. Well, according to the article, the only place it's legal to charge 85% interest was Nevada. Now. That may have changed. I can't say for sure. But what I can say is that if you don't pay that off, I'm pretty sure they come and they
maybe I need to get into
their thugs after you.
I may need to get into the payday loan business. It sounds like.
Yeah, if you you want to drive people straight to the poorhouse. All right. Well, that's it for the show today. Thanks for joining us. And next week, we will be picking up where we left off on some specific tips on how you can save more money each month, keep the money in your own pocket instead of paying everybody else. So this is Brett Kitchen
and Ethan Kapp
with Savvy Money Radio. And go check out FleeWallStreet.com to learn how to secure your money and secure your financial future.